Crystal. Welcome back to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about international stories, tales, legends, and myths.
Sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
These accounts have been passed down through family and friends.
We're sharing these stories to keep them going.
And we want to continue to pass them down for culture, fascination, and for you guys to feel the same fear we felt when we heard them.
This is a disclosure. We're not professionals. We're not historians. We just love everything scary. On today's episode, we're going to talk about El Cucuy and Brujería.
To our listeners who don't know what brujería is, we are Las Brujas, which mean witches. Mm-hmm. And brujería is witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally what it translates to, is witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy. It is thought of... Oh, and I'm talking about brujería. Just to let everybody know. It's thought of as a sacred practice of Latin American cultures, but it's witchcraft. I think brujería, witchcraft, whatever you want to call it, everybody somewhere has practiced it.
Yeah.
Brujería includes the practice of rituals, spells, incantations, and potions. Some others that lean more towards the negative are manifesting evil, casting spells to cause physical or mental illness, bringing about bad luck, voodoo, and sometimes even death. Like, brujería gets really dark.
Yeah? It's dark magic.
It doesn't always have to be.
Okay.
Just like witchcraft, just how there's white magic and black magic, It's the same way with brujería. Some people can practice good. Some people can practice evil.
Mm-hmm.
I know in our family, brujería runs all over the place. I know people in our family that mm-hmm. have had brujería put on them. And so I was talking to my mom, your grandma, mm-hmm. her grandma, if people don't know now. I was talking to mom and she started to share some personal stories about it. And when I say share, I mean I bugged her until she told me everything she knows. Because mom doesn't like talking about this stuff.
She doesn't believe in it.
She doesn't believe in it. She doesn't like talking about it. She
knows of it,
uh-huh.
but she doesn't want to go beyond that point. She respects it.
She's seen things happen, mm-hmm. but she does not believe, quote unquote.
Yeah.
The first thing that she remembered, the first thing that came to her head was when we lived in Florida. She said, my brother, Emilio, and he's going to come on this podcast one day, and I'm going to ask him about this. He went for a jog around the neighborhood, and at the end of our street, he saw a dead rooster. And he called mom. He told mom. First thing when you go, mom, I saw a dead rooster.
What?
So mom went to the end of the street with him. And this rooster had a candle inside of it.
What?
Mm-hmm. And I asked, the first thing I said was, did you touch it? Like, you don't touch it.
What?
She said they didn't touch it. But they could see it had a candle inside. And mom instantly knew.
Like, she's run like, over, or just like it's laying there and there's a candle inside the mouth of the rooster.
Uh-huh. No, in the body. Whoa. In like the cavity body part. Yeah. Okay. So instantly mom was like, somebody did brujería. That's a rooster that was a sacrifice. Somebody's doing something.
Oh my gosh. And how old was he?
I don't know. He'll tell us more of the story when he gets on.
I can only imagine. I mean, if he was preteen or just getting to that mm-hmm. stage where, like, you know, you love animals and you're seeing a freaking rooster dead.
That's what I thought of.
Yeah.
He ran home, mom. It's a dead rooster.
With a candle inside of it.
I don't think he was that young. I think he was older. And even if he was younger, I remember hearing about brujería when I was little. Remember in New York, the Botanica?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been around this stuff for a long time. Mom also refreshed my memory because I remember a little bit about this story. She told me, okay, there's a family member. And this is where when I say that she saw something with her own eyes or, you know, like firsthand knowledge about it, but she still doesn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a family member and he, I guess we'll say he.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say names, but no. Already. But our family's so giant, it'd be hard to pinpoint this, I think. Anyways.
You can say the one letter.
No, I'm not going to say the one. That's too easy. This person was in a relationship, and it was not the ideal relationship. They fought a lot. There was a lot of jealousy. There was a lot of tension. And the two families didn't get along. So our family didn't get along with her family. Mm-hmm. And apparently we have a very good friend in the family, like, not a family member, but a good friend to our family.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She does brujería, but good brujería. And one day she went up to him and she told him, you need to go home and check your patio. I'm seeing your patio. There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he goes home, he checks his patio, and he finds a picture of himself wrapped up with leaves. And like, just, it looked like somebody was casting a spell on him.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. On his patio. Mm-hmm. So random. And come to find out, he confronted his significant other at the time. And the significant other, the girl and her mom, were doing brujeria on him.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I don't know if they were trying to do like a binding spell to keep him there. Or all these things. I have no clue those details. Because like I said, mom will talk about it. But she gives me the bare minimum.
Yeah.
No specific details. But so she's seen it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
She knows this lady told him. He went to his house. He found it. He confronted. They said yes. I mean, it's so true.
So what do you do with it? I mean, you find something that is being cast on you. Do you burn it? Like the Ouija board?
No, you do not. You don't burn a Ouija board.
I know, but I mean, how do you get rid of it? Because say it was a spell that was already casted. What happens?
Well, okay, so there's a few ways.
Trash.
Yeah, there's a few ways. Like you can go to a Botanica.
Mm-hmm.
A Botanica is a store and they sell natural stuff. They sell all the leaves
herbal
and herbs.
Remedies.
Mm-hmm. They sell religious candles, amulets. It's a magical store.
Spiritual.
Spiritual, I guess, store for Spanish people. It's like a crystal shop, but this one is like for Spanish people because you'll see a lot of Virgin Mary, Virgins, Jesus, all that stuff in there. And they also can do things like they perform rituals, santeria, blessings, card readings, all that stuff. I haven't looked up a Botanica here in Vegas, which is surprising.
I think there's one on Charleston.
Really? Usually I always know where they're at.
I don't think it's a Spanish related one, but I know there is one that's herbal. They have stones and oils and incense. So I think if you probably go in the back somewhere, they may have something because you know you have to have it all.
There's always
looking
a back
nice
room.
Nice for everybody, all the customers. Can't scare them away. But you know, you got that one employee who's like, let me hook you up. Let me take you to the back.
Don't go to the back.
Yeah.
Not alone. Don't ever go to the back alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. If you get that bad feeling inside, don't go to the back. I remember there was a couple in California I went to, and there was one where I went in and I was like, oh, this place is amazing. I feel great in here. And then there was another one I went into and I was like, this place is scary.
It's dark.
Mm-hmm. I was like, there's some bad things in here. And I left. I was like, no, I gotta go. If you don't have somebody in your family that can tell you that somebody's doing brujería on you, you can kind of figure out. There are ways to tell if somebody is doing brujería on you. You'll know when you start to notice things. It can be from your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like say you're not an angry person, but you find yourself becoming angry or emotional, or you start snapping at people, but that's not really who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start to notice certain animals, cats, moths, crows, birds, horses, cattle.
Pigeons?
Yeah, any kind of bird.
Mm.
But it has to be not ordinary.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because if we were going to your mom's house, we're going to see all the cows.
Yeah.
All the cows and cattle.
Horses, yeah.
So it can't be ordinary. It has to be something that stands out. So say you are living out there and you go by where the cows are, but a black cow sticks out to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like something just starts to feel off. There's been a couple times where I've walked out of the house and there's a dead bird right there in front of the door.
Weird.
Yeah. But what also you have to take into account is the color. So if it is black, black usually signifies misfortune and death.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's black, you might want to think a little bit harder about it. Usually it's just a pigeon or it's usually a great bird that's dead that I found.
Pigeons are normally just gray and purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But even those other little ones that trip around there, those little tiny ones. Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. I think when I looked up what a dead bird is, it means new beginnings or something you've been going after is going to flourish or come into fruition.
What if you ran over a dead bird? Does that give you any good luck?
No, that means the bird didn't get out of the way fast enough. Another thing that you will notice is bad dreams. Right? Strange dreams. You'll start dreaming really scary things. It could be from death, death of yourself, death of loved ones, very traumatic things in your dreams. You can see blood, all those very, very scary dreams is something that should stand out to you. And then it could get really serious because your health can start declining. And I, like I said at the beginning, I know a couple of people who have had brujeria done on them and their hair started falling out.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. It can get very scary serious.
Well, you're stressed.
You could think of it that way, but you have to take into account all the other things. You have to really think about it.
Put all those pieces together.
Mm-hmm, somebody most of the time isn't going to do brujeria on you unless you did something to them, mm-hmm. right? So if you have done somebody wrong and all of a sudden your hair starts falling out, you see black birds flying around you, you better start thinking, does that person know somebody? Do they dabble in that stuff? Because it could get really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a couple of ways that you can protect yourself. Do you know the eye jewelry? The jewelry that has the little eye on it? It's called the evil eye.
The little beads?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It could be beads. It could be just like a piece of jewelry, like a, I don't want to say amulet. Is it an amulet? You could wear it on a necklace too. You could wear it on a ring. I've seen people
with rings. An actual eyeball.
Not an actual eye, but like little blue eye.
The shape of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This evil eye. So the evil eye is actually its own curse. And it comes from...
Mal de ojo.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's called in Spanish. Yeah. But this comes from other cultures. I think it comes from Egypt.
Okay.
But either way, the eye, if for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's dark blue on the outside. It's usually like a, what is it, like glass, mm-hmm. right? Like it's like a glass texture. It's blue on the outside and then it's white and then the iris and the pupil. And it just looks like an eye floating in water, right? That's like the best way I could describe it. And before you would have to go to like a botanica or a crystal shop to find these things. But now they're everywhere.
Like cat eyes.
Not cat eyes.
Okay.
They look like just little, they're very circular. Okay. There's no shape to them. It's all circles. But now you can find them everywhere. You can find them at the dollar store. Walmart, the corner store. Like, they have them everywhere now. Mm-hmm. But this eye, the evil eye curse, was a curse put on you by, you know, some witch somewhere. They made the jewelry, the eye jewelry, because it protects you from evil. And what I heard, and I didn't find this in research, but what I heard is if you're wearing it or you have it on you, or some people hang it in their cars or in their houses, and one breaks, that means somebody's practicing brujería on you.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I know somebody who had that jewelry and the bracelet broke. Like the actual eye cracked.
Not like it unraveled.
No, it was like the actual eye piece bead on the bracelet cracked. And we know for sure that somebody was doing brujería on them. And then when that happened, we knew it was serious.
Wow.
It gets kind of creepy, but what can you do? It's out there. So wearing the evil eye, or I don't know why they call it evil eye. Because the actual jewelry is not the evil part. It's maybe because it protects you from evil. And then the jewelry is usually dark blue around the eye. And then the iris of the eye can be different colors. So depending on what you want to protect yourself or what colors mean everything, you have to look at the chakra color list.
Okay.
Usually the blue, the light blue iris symbolizes truth. And that's supposed to provide a direct protection against evil trying to be put upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Or another way you can protect yourself from brujeria is different stones. I know a lot of people light candles, say prayers, whatever you believe in. I think it's whatever you feel you need to do is what you should do. And that's usually how most spiritual people work at like botanicas and stuff. They're like, if you feel like you need to light a candle and pray, light a candle and pray. If you feel like you need to carry a crystal on you, buy the crystal and carry it on you. But I think that's pretty much it. I'm going to get deeper into brujeria as the show goes on because I want to talk about Santeria? No. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
That's more Cuban based. And brujeria is more broader because it covers so many different cultures. But going forth on different episodes, I'm going to start to dig deeper and try to go like more Mexican and then more Cuban related, more Puerto Rican related. As far as brujeria as a broad, informative thing, this is what I found so far.
And we're also just trying to find stories because it is still part of the Hispanic Heritage Month. So we're wanting to educate our listeners as well
about brujeria?
About stories that we have that, you know, not a lot of people talk about. But again, brujeria, magic, this mm-hmm. black magic is performed, practiced everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's just they have their own little kink to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're next. Okay. I'm done.
So for me, I'm going to be talking about El Cucuy. In other cultures, el cuco or La cuca.
La cuca?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call cookie? Cuca?
No.
Maybe not. She'll let me know if she hears this.
Yeah.
She'll be like, nobody calls me cuca. No! Cuca is Snooki and J-Well call their hoo-ha cuca.
Really?
I think so. That could also be wrong. Anyways, continue.
So, El Cucuy is known as the Spanish version of a boogeyman. Now, the boogeyman for us in our culture is a boogeyman who would take, kidnap, or eat children who misbehaved. Yes, the folktale that was said was a father who was angry at his children decided to lock his kids as punishment in a closet. After he locked his children, he went into town to run errands and forgot to let his kids out of their punishment, out of their timeout. And upon returning, the father's barn and house caught on fire, which killed his children.
Oh my
and
God.
I guess
terrible.
During that time, if you, as a parent, killed your children, you were cursed. So in disbelief, the father obviously went to look for his children that already had perished in the closet.
Oh my God, that is so sad.
They were burned.
That's
so
sad.
He kept looking and looking. I know. He kept looking and looking, and now he created an appetite for children. So the cucuy is supposed to be a man. In most of the stories that I looked, there is in Puerto Rican culture, it's supposed to be a female, but she's supposed to be in a shape-shifting alligator type. But I kind of feel like they're mixing the chupacabra with this whole story.
Chupacabra.
Yeah. So for many years, kids have always been told if you do misbehave with your parents or you don't listen at night, the cucuy will come to you through the closet. Mm. Or under the bed. Now, me growing up, I always knew the cucuy would come from under the bed. It wasn't
really?
Through a closet. Yes.
I just remember them saying the cucuy is going to get you. And for me, it was just any dark place. Yeah. Any dark place the cucuy was
and
at.
And for us being naive children, we would always ask the grown-ups, well, what is the cucuy?
Yeah.
What does he do?
Yeah.
What do they look like?
Yeah.
What happens if the cucuy takes me? Every story was different. Oh, it's, you know, some tall, hairy man, a black spirit. It
That's
could be,
what
you know.
I pictured. I always pictured a black shadow figure.
Yeah. And for me, it was, I was more of like, it had hands that would take me. Because it was under the bed and I didn't know, I mean, I couldn't put a body to it, but it was just because they said he would take you. I would only imagine seeing hands coming out of the bed
like
and grabbing
up
me.
On the side of the bed and grabbing your foot. Mm-hmm. You like to sleep with your feet off the
all
bed.
All the time.
I don't
to
know
breathe.
How you do it.
Not off the bed, but I mean, with
They're
uncovered,
off
I don't cover
the bed.
It.
I go in there sometimes and your feet are off the bed.
Are
and
they?
The first thing I think of is something's going to grab her feet. To this day,
well,
I still believe in the cucuy.
I did research in Hawaii. They have the cucuy, but it's not paranormal as we think of it. For them, it's a candle nut from a tree, and it's symbolized as enlightenment and protection and peace. So there is a store that is where I'm from in San Jose, California, called Cucuy, and they're Hawaiian cultured. And what they would do is they would mix the soot from the tree, the cucuy nuts, mix it with coconut and sugar cane to make tattoo ink. So that's how the Hawaiians know of the cucuy. Nothing paranormal whatsoever.
Not
no scariness.
Scary boogeyman monster.
Mm-hmm. With the cucuy, in looking at ways that he was depicted, he was an old hunched over man with a twisted spine. He had one ear that was normal, so like ours, any normal human being. The other ear is supposed to be an enlarged bat ear, and it's supposed to be either a red bat ear, a red colored ear, or he would have red eyes. I have a story that I found
that sounds
on
super creepy.
MexicoUnexplained.com.
Mexico Unexplained. Yeah.
This story was told as a lullaby by, his name is Joe Hayes, and it's a children's book, and I guess it's named.
Oh, I think I know. I think I've seen this book before.
Have you?
I think so. Oh. If I see a picture of it, I'm pretty sure it's going to like click back in my brain.
So when I was reading it myself, I didn't.
Wait, hold on. Who's the author?
Joe Hayes. Yeah. Now, this story I've never heard growing up. Mine was just always, if you misbehave, the cucuy is going to take you or kidnap you. This one kind of gives you more of a once upon a time type vibe. And I'll just go ahead and get started.
So it's a lot more mystical?
Well, it kind of paints a picture a little bit more, builds you up to it. It says here, there once was a man who lived in a small Mexican village with his three daughters. His wife had died and the man was left to raise his three girls on his own. The youngest of the three daughters was very helpful around the house, recognizing that without their mom, their father was left to spend 12 hours a day working along with the other responsibilities of two parents. The older daughter saw their younger daughter as somewhat of a chump or a goody two-shoes. The older girls were always out playing or doing whatever they wanted, while the younger girl was stuck to do the chores. When the younger girl pleaded for help from their sisters, she was met with laughter. One day, the daughter went to the father to plead him to force the other girls to help her. That only made matters worse for her. The older sisters began to sabotage the younger girl's work, throwing ash from the fireplace on a newly cleaned floor or tying into knots fresh laundry, drying on clotheslines. The father, tired of the antics of the older girls and their attitude and overall laziness, threatened to call the kukui to come and get them. The older girls thought this to be funny. They had heard of the creature before, and it was described to be a tall, furry, with red eyes, bigger, and same thing with the whole ear, one ear regular, the other one with a bigger ear. It was supposed to be depicted like a werewolf.
That's what it sounds like a little bit.
Yeah, it would could hear with its enlarged ear. It could hear misbehaving children.
It had a bionic ear.
Yes, and with this, it would be from a distance of 250 miles. This snarling creature would abduct bad children, take them to his cave in the mountains, and eventually eat them.
Ugh.
Yeah, and this would serve lessons to the younger children. The older sisters mocked the fairy tale and didn't take the father's threat seriously. When the father heard of the daughter's continued bad behavior, he went outside and called the kukui by name. This made the two older girls more irreverent, and they continued to make fun of the situation and torment their younger sister.
They were bad little girls. Yeah. He told them not to do it, and they did it even more.
Then, townsfolk reported seeing a large, upright, hairy creature enter the little village. The creature made a beeline to the house of the widower and snatched the two older sisters. The kukui swiftly took the girls to his mountain hideaway in a dark cave with a deep pit. He put the girls in the pit and fed them one tortilla per day to keep them alive.
Keep a tortilla.
After about a week. He must be Hispanic. A goat herder tending to his flock on a mountain went to rescue a goat that had his hoof stuck in between two rocks. After the goat was freed and finished bleeding for help, the goat herder heard the wailing sounds of two girls inside the pit. The goat herder entered the cave and rescued the two, taking them down to the mountain and back into town. The disobedient daughters were reunited with the father and little sister and begged the man never to call the kukui on them again. The father never did because the girls never gave him a reason to. From then on, the girls helped out around the house and stopped being mean to the little sister.
He didn't eat them?
Mm-mm.
They got lucky. One.
Yeah.
They survived. That's what I'm saying.
It was more like of a once upon a time feel. Like, and do you know the moral of the story?
Yeah,
listen to your parents, kids.
Yeah. I see where you're going with it now.
Yeah. So for this tale, it was more of a hairy Bigfoot. I mean, werewolf. It could be depicted into many.
I think it just depends on what you're scared of. That's what you're going to picture the kukui to be. Because for me, it was always just a dark figure.
Yeah. I was only hands for me.
See? Yeah.
Hands coming out of the bed. Something was going to take me.
Do you remember when we went camping?
Yeah.
Like a long time ago. Like the only time I ever went camping. No, I only went camping with you maybe twice in my whole life. You guys went camping a lot on your own. Yeah. I'm not a nature person. Okay,
so tell me.
Remember when they would tell us, this just popped. It has nothing related to the kukui. But do you remember the story? I don't know if it was your mom or who somebody else told us about the rolling heads. You remember the story? The story has stuck with me for years.
I think so.
Anyways.
The rolling heads.
The rolling
heads. Just decapitated heads?
Yeah, just rolling heads. I remember the story was something about how, I think it just triggered me because you're talking about little girls and scary stories. And then I thought about this because it's October and I'm thinking of scary stories. It was about how you couldn't go outside after dark. Because then after dark, there would be rolling heads everywhere.
Looking for kids?
No, I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe?
Could be.
You don't remember the rolling head story? I wonder if she's listening to her right now going, the rolling head!
Mm-hmm. She's going to text us and be like, yes, I remember.
She has to come on and tell a scary story. She needs to tell the Rolling Head story again.
I just remember her whenever she had the opportunity to tell a scary story, whether we were camping or having a slumber party and scaring us. That was just like, that would rile her up.
It would. She loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has the scariest house. She has the scariest house on the block for Halloween.
Yeah.
The scariest. Mm-hmm. She does the best at it. We come in last. We don't even come close.
Ours is rated PG.
Yeah. TBY.
Yeah. So for me, the kukui, I haven't really told my daughter about it. I don't know if I've ever shared it with her.
I don't think I've ever told
my sisters, they all remember it. And cousins, when we talk about our stories.
We are failing as Latina women who have all of these great Hispanic stories, Latin stories. Mm-hmm. We are failing our children. We need to tell about the cucuy, mm-hmm. about the chupacabra.
We can barely get them into the spirit store. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. We tried to take the kids to the Halloween store the other day. They didn't even want to get out of the car.
Nope.
They already knew.
We'll wait for you outside. Yeah, no, get inside. Let's go. It's all fake. You're fine.
No.
And you can't even play jokes. Is
so real. Were we like that?
Well, I don't think so because we were forced to go to haunted houses.
We were forced.
I think it was more forced. Of, we're going to go out somewhere for Halloween. Oh, it's a haunted house. Let's all go. Line up.
And your mom, my sisters, they love it. Like, they love it.
Yeah.
And I think because they love it so much, we ended up loving it so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it scared us really bad. Mm-hmm. Traumatized us maybe a little, but we still love it. Mm-hmm. And it's weird how our kids they want nothing to do mm-hmm. with it. Nothing.
Sure, I'll paint the skull.
Yeah, I'll paint the skull with
That's
some glitter.
It. That's
some glitter
it.
And pink paint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't even get these kids to go to a Halloween store. Mm-hmm. Next podcast, hopefully we'll have a story about how we took him to a haunted house.
Oh, wow.
Wait, I think Emilio took Emily and Elijah to a haunted house. My brother, he took his two kids and they love it.
Well, that's because they probably were raised around it. You know, well, you have your two who like, what is it?
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They My love daughter it. Doesn't like that.
She doesn't like... Why'd she watch it the other day?
She's trying to join the club.
She's
trying to
strong.
Join the club. Yes.
Don't be strong.
But every time, it's like, Mom, I don't want to watch the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I play
she
that movie.
Princesses and fairy tales. Yeah.
Growing up in this house together now, she better get used to it.
She's going
to
have rock and roll in her life.
Yeah. This house is very... alternative. Well, at least the way I live my life. No, but I never thought Nightmare Before Christmas was scary. You know what I noticed as an adult now when I tried to watch Hocus Pocus with Peyton, my oldest, and it seemed very inappropriate. You're talking about a virgin, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then
all of our movies were inappropriate.
Very 90s movies?
We had no idea that's what they were talking about. We didn't understand that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's so inappropriate because, okay, the kid's a virgin mm-hmm. and a virgin needs to light the candle. Like a Peyton's seven. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here like, let's watch Hocus Pocus. And then we're watching it. I'm like, he better not ask me what a virgin is. So I'm not ready. And then what else? Oh, and then when the little girl talks about how the boy wants to touch the girl that he likes boobs, mm-hmm. when she goes, boobas or something like that. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Or Sarah Jessica Parker's character mm-hmm. when he's the cat. What's the cat's name? Binks. Mm-hmm. When Binks is up against the wall and she asks the main witch, wow, I'm blanking on all the names and I watch this movie 1,000 times. But when she's like, can I keep him so I can play with him? And she's like an old witch and he's a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so inappropriate. Why do I love this movie so mm-hmm. much? The Sanders sisters. Sanders and sisters. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Oh, and then when they show them hanging the witches, like they don't show the faces, but they have the noose around their necks.
In the beginning, right?
At the beginning, yeah. They have the noose around their necks.
And they show the back. The rear view.
The feet.
Yeah.
They show the feet hanging. That's so bad. Mm-hmm. We watched. See, this is why we're corrupt. Nothing can scare us these days.
Well, the kukui does when I leave my feet out, apparently.
No, it doesn't. That's why you leave your feet out. Yep. Not me. I make sure
my feet,
in. My feet are tucked in under blankets. Closet doors are closed. Nothing is getting me. Do you remember ever jumping off of your bed? Did you ever do that when you were little?
Jump off my bed.
Like you wouldn't get off of your bed with your feet right next to the bottom of the bed. You never jumped off your bed so that your feet weren't that close so nothing would grab you from under your bed?
No.
All right. It's just me. I would get so scared. I would freak myself out so much sometimes that I would get like to the edge of the bed on my feet and I would jump as far as I could to the door. Because I was scared something was under my bed and they would grab me. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. For me, it was spiders. There were either spiders or hands under the bed.
Spiders under the bed?
Yeah. Arachnophobia was a movie that really got stuck, cemented. I don't know why.
You saw that movie?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that movie is.
It's about spiders.
Arachnophobia?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to watch it and still be afraid of insects.
And I'm going to be jumping off of my bed to the door. As an old woman now. When you hear a big bang, that's me jumping from the bed to the door. Why are we so clumsy? Why are we like this?
But we keep on rolling.
We keep going. Mm-hmm. I'm over here saying we're failures because we're not dragging our kids down the same They're lucky. They'll know when they're older how lucky they were. When they start asking us, why didn't you ever tell us about the kukui?
Mm-hmm. You know, there was an article that I did read that the kukui was supposed to be a shapeshifter for a dragon, but I don't know why it would be a shapeshifting. I mean, it would be a spirit, so I would understand shapeshifting, but the relation for a dragon, I'm not sure why.
That means the kukui is based off of just another ghost, spirit, demon.
Yeah. I think it was somewhere in Spain that I was researching that the kukui, well, they would call it a coco, would turn into a dragon or ghost monster that would shift.
I guess the kukui is a shapeshifter because we all have a different
Fantasma idea. Is what a lot of the articles had.
Fantasma means spirit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a spirit. That's why it's a black figure or to me and hands to
alligator
you.
Female.
Or a female chupacabra. Yeah. That's funny. An alligator in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
Crocodile or alligator?
Alligator.
That alligator would make more sense in Florida.
Crocodiles are in Egypt.
Okay, yeah, so it's alligators. Okay.
Anyway. Well, yes, it's right there by Florida.
Egypt?
No.
Puerto Rico. I was going to say for a second. I don't think Egypt is next to Florida.
Your geography is off.
The scaling is off a little bit. All right, is that it for today?
That wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you. Were you scared of the kukui as a kid? Do you know anyone who's had brujeria done on them?
Join us next week. We post every Friday.
Well, not for October. October, we're trying to do 2 a week.
We're trying to mix it up a little bit for our listeners.
But after October, regularly, Fridays.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.